Say the name Kennedy, and you immediately turn to politics, both current as well as historical. Yet not every member of the Kennedy family has utilized their name strictly for political purposes. Overstating the rather significant obvious, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has utilized his name to bring attention to causes, primarily the environment, health care, among others. Now, whether you agree or disagree with what he says, he will get you talking about the issue. You have to say that. Why has Robert F. Kennedy Jr. worked so hard on issues he has passion for? If his life is examined, does that bring understanding about how he comes at things so, well, some call it aggressively? Is he running for president with his sight on the Oval Office, or is it a means to bring attention to the causes, the ideas that he embraces? My next guest has worked to find the answers to those and many other questions about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He presents the view into this life with his book, The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. He is himself an investigative journalist, as well as a multiple best-selling author. Dick Russell, how are you today, Dick?
I'm good, Chris. Good to be with you.
And I appreciate the job you've done. It's been a few years, but I've had the pleasure of talking with Mr. Kennedy and always found it educational. And certainly the story that you present in The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior, is, well, I guess that brings me to the first question, because by and large, a biography can either be a narrative about the topic, an analysis, or an explanation about them. What was your main, out of those three, means of presenting the story?
I would say it's narrative. You know, I wanted to go over his entire life, and particularly his career as an environmental advocate, you know, 40 years of litigation, which has been very successful in terms of stopping polluters and everywhere from the Hudson River, you know, all the way to Latin America and other Monsanto that he's taken on in court over their spraying of this pesticide Roundup and won a huge settlement on. I wanted to get that across because, you know, in recent years, Bobby has been, and I've known him for many, many years. So he's a friend, but he's also, you know, someone that we've worked together as colleagues on different environmental issues over the years. And I was just really alarmed at how the mainstream media was portraying him as this kind of, you know, crazy disinformation specialist, anti-vaxxer, which I knew was not the case, and kind of forgetting about everything that he'd done in his life and where he came from and what he went through. So, you know, I decided a year ago, sometime before he decided to run for president, that a biography of who he was, the man that I knew, chronicling the various events that of his life and the causes that he'd fought for, was important to get out there to people.
Now, as far as Mr. Kennedy, what do you think he values more, dedication to a cause or curiosity about a cause?
Well, I don't know that you can separate them. I mean, he's definitely dedicated to what he does, but he's also one of the most curious people I know. I mean, you know, he's really studied the science. He had to with all these environmental cases that he was litigating, study what was going on behind the scenes and try to bring it out to people in the courtroom. And he did the same with public health. I mean, you know, he very reluctantly dove into all that back in 2005 when these women started coming up to him at his speeches that he was giving about mercury and power plants, really, and talking to him about, hey, maybe mercury was a problem with childhood vaccines because their kids were getting neurodevelopmentally disordered. And so, you know, his curiosity and his interest, I think, you know, sparks the drive toward the cause. In other words, makes him think, well, is this worth taking on or not? And you know, he's got a lot of guts. I mean, he's been willing to take on things that nobody else would, really. And he's been very effective at it.
And certainly at times great risk, too, and a great challenge. And it's sort of like his persona and maybe the assumptions about the persona. When you look at the things he does, the places he goes to do them, it probably compels a lot of people to say, well, he didn't have to do that, but there he is doing it. And that probably adds a lot of value and probably wins him a lot of converts, too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, he didn't have to take up this public health issue. He said many times, he said he was quite happy, you know, doing suing polluters and doing these environmental cases that have made a difference. And he very reluctantly went down what he sometimes called a rabbit hole, you know. But once he did, and felt the necessity of it, and saw how many kids were being detrimentally impacted by something in the environment, for sure, and seeing the rise in allergies in kids and chronic disease that was sweeping the country. The figure that he came up with was 12% back in 1984 when Dr. Fauci came into the NIH, and up to 54%, I mean, these days with people with chronic diseases. So something was obviously wrong. And he started devoting himself to trying to figure out why and raise issues, alarm about this.
So Dick Russell, author of the new book, The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I know people are quick to use the word conspiracy, and with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., it's kind of odd because when he's talking about and exploring the assassinations of his father and his uncle, okay, those are good. You're doing good with those conspiracies, but if he wants to explore election fraud, vaccines, how corporations are dealing with the environment, the New York watershed, just to name one, as far as a local interest. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. We have to silence you. And strange thing is, the more you try to silence Bobby, the louder his voice seems to get.
Well, these days, that's certainly true. And, you know, but the fact is, he's been censored more than anybody. I mean, he used to write, you know, op-eds and all the major, you know, newspapers, New York Times on down. And now they won't have him. They won't even let him write, a letter to the editor that gets across some kind of rebuttal to the accusations against him, which are many in the mainstream media. And so he's, you know, in this campaign doing a lot of podcasts and some of them on the, you know, people consider on the right or whatever. And he's a liberal Democrat, but he's willing to talk to people and feels like that's what's really missing in the society, you know, that we no longer even debate things. I mean, he said, I'm willing to be proved wrong. If somebody wants to come up with things that are real on the other side of the issue. But as he also says, you know, he said, hey, I've been fighting to keep make our waters clean for fishing and commercial fishermen for 40 years, and nobody calls me anti-fish. And I've been fighting to keep pesticides out of food, and nobody calls me anti-food. So, you know, I want safe vaccines, and I want to make sure that they're tested against a placebo before they're given to kids and to adults. So, you know, and yet he's just labeled anti-vax.
Your book really confirms and really introduces to the reader, I think, something I was privileged to learn from my talks with him. I think he's far more loyal to a cause than he is to any political party. Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Because I chronicle in the book, as you know, how he's worked, across the aisle. I mean, he's worked with Republicans on many, many different issues. The New York watershed is a perfect example where he, you know, ended up working with upstate farmers who at first, you know, were just very leery of him and thought he was just this, you know, rich guy coming in to tell them take their land away and give all the clean water to New York. But he worked with these people, and he did the same thing in North Carolina, and he worked with a Republican businessman who was an executive at one of these hydraulic fracturing companies that was saying that fracking is hurting people, and they got fracking banned in New York, the two of them working together. So, you know, he's been doing this for a long time. So long as he believes in something and sees that it's got to be corrected, and the big thing has been agency capture. I mean, he's observed, you know, how the EPA was captured by the chemical companies and later the CDC and the FDA under the sway of the big pharmaceutical companies. So he feels like that merger of state and corporate power is really what's destroying democracy in this country and hurting a lot of people. So, you know, he's gonna take it on.
One of my favorite chapters among the many in your book, Watershed Moments, and I don't want to always go back to the New York watershed, but this is one of the great stories. It was Andrew Cuomo's bachelor party. Andrew was going to marry sister Carrie, and Bobby saw Mario Cuomo, Andrew's dad, sitting off the corner by himself, and he didn't see the father of the groom. He saw opportunity to get an ear and to get some attention for the cause of the watershed, and one thing led to another, and it wound up with the New York City doing the economical smart thing versus what the alternative was that they were looking at doing.
Yeah, exactly. And in that instance, you know, he worked with Mayor Dinkins of New York City, and then he worked with or tried to work with Giuliani, you know, who took over after Dinkins was there. And eventually, it's very interesting because the you may remember this in the book, the Republican governor of New York, George Pataki, ended up telling Bobby's mother, Ethel. He said, boy, after the watershed agreement was forged, and Bobby was really the key element in that, I think, with his group, with the Riverkeeper, making that happen. It took a long time, I mean, some years for that to happen, to protect the entire watershed for New York State and the city. And Pataki told his mom, he said, you know, I can't wait till Bobby, till I'm out of office and Bobby can run for governor. And this is a Republican, you know, talking to the Democratic, you know, Robert Kennedy's widow. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that people recognized in him. And it hasn't gone away. I mean, you know, he's that guy. He's just finally now in a position where he feels like democracy is under such threat. And people have forgotten how to talk to each other and can't work together to achieve the ends that are needed, that he's come into the race and is appealing to, you know, not just, in fact, probably more libertarians and Republicans in some ways than liberal Democrats, so-called.
I mean, not to get into anything private, because you said you have a working relationship with him, but does he see a true path? Or, like I said back in the intro, is this just a means he can see a platform to bring attention to things at a higher level than he's even been able to do so far?
Well, he's certainly doing that, but that's not why he's doing it. I mean, he has said right from the beginning, and he did tell me, you know, we sat down together many, many times for interviews when I was putting together the biography, which, you know, he didn't, it's not an authorized, well, it is authorized in the sense that he didn't oppose my doing it, but we didn't, you know, work on it as a collaborative effort in that sense. But, you know, I interviewed him many times, and he opened the door for me to interview other people that might not have otherwise talked to me. And he gave me access to some of his private journals over the years. And he did tell me before he did it, you know, that he was going to run for president, and he was serious about it. He said, I'm running to win. You know, I feel I've got a shot, and I feel like there's nobody else who can unite people in the same way that I believe I can.
For you listening, if you've had questions based upon stories of third-party innuendo that you've heard about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior, we'll give you honest answers. He always wondered, why should I admire somebody in, quote-unquote, the public eye? Well, if this somebody is just as able to stare down a high-ranking politician as he is to stare down a corporation, as he is to stare down the U.S. Navy, well, I think there's some good reasons right there. Those are some of the stories that you'll read, and a lot more about the life, the methods, and the determination of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. Dick Russell, you have honored the story with the truth it deserves, and for that we can always be grateful for. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Chris. Thanks for having me, and good to talk to you today.